Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool.
Everybody keep cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be?
No.
Yes?
How little I thought about you on vacation.
Be that as it may, are you as surprised as me?
And what, Robbie?
John not having eggs here today? I thought sure John would have it.
Shocker.
It is a shocker. A terrific shocker. John Pop shocker. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Brett Martsky and all the ships at sea. Back, live in studio, simply because they missed Mike the new guy.
Yeah.
Welcome back, honey. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Rob. And hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast, still nationwide. And here we are on the 6th of July, and we are still affiliated with Westwood One. Some things, they never change.
Drinking water, honey.
Don Geronimo, Michael Barra. Right here, that's why we every single cotton-picking day insist on calling it the Don and Mike Show. So glad to be back! Coming to you from, oh my God, this place normally smells like someone's underpants on a good day, but when it's this hot, oh,
it's gross.
What a sewage plant this is. Sinkhole number one, WJFK. That's our home radio station in Washington, D.C. Thank goodness Kintag Stevens wasn't here today.
Kintag isn't here. Kintag isn't here.
No, he's not. He's the general manager, Ken Stevens. He also has a six-car garage. Then you got the program director, who I haven't seen either yet today. That's another good sign.
That is true. That is a very good sign, or it could be a very bad sign.
Mark Anthony, Jeremy Coleman, who as we speak now is in the fetal position underneath his desk on the third floor. Then you got Big Daddy Mel ruling the world from New York City and our agent Junior Soprano. Word of advice for you soccer moms. There you got your kids in summer school. Hey, Junior Missy, move them way to the back of the minivan because I have just whipped this thing out.
I think I see an all-over tan.
I think you're right, Mike.
Wow.
You know, I don't know if it's the new machine that we got in here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hearing like an audible hum.
There is a very loud hum.
Do you hear that?
Let me see. It's not a small hum. It's a very loud
right.
hum.
Right. Hey, turn that thing off.
Just turn it off.
Nope.
Not it.
You can't go away for a day.
Hold on.
No, it's still there.
It's still there. You can't go away for a day.
No, we can't.
Much less a full vacation without having something.
It's still there. Yeah, it's there.
I think it's me.
Turn your mic off, Buzz.
Watch this.
Yep, you're right. We'll turn the machine back on. See you, Buzz.
Okay.
All right, good.
Goodbye.
All right, well, we've isolated the problem, ladies and gentlemen. It's the problem in Buzz's studio.
That's right, and there's a different mic stand here. Here, I just wanted to do to go back into my full recline position.
right.
I went to pull the microphone and...
Hey, oh, look at that.
It's about 12 inches too short.
All right, well, let's see if we can solve the problem with Buzz's room.
Okay.
Hi, what is wrong over there, Buzz?
Everything is exactly in the same position as I left it.
All right, let me try bringing you up somewhere else. Hold on a second.
No, it's still there.
That's all... You hear that?
That's nasty.
That's
not good. Now it's loud.
Wow. Hey, welcome back, Buzz.
Hi.
Unbelievable. Well, please take no offense, Buzz. I'm going to just pod you down a little bit there.
I understand.
So that we don't have that annoying... That sounds.
Are any of the engineers here? Because that is a problem.
No, Dan's here. I saw him bring
the good thing about Buzz's room is they can kind of work over there while we're doing this,
right.
and hammer and you know do us, and Buzz can pot down his microphone
right.
when it's.
Dan, come to the studio, please.
Dan, we need you in the studio, please. Dan, we need you.
And speak of the devil, there is engineer. Mr. Wendell.
Hey, Wendell, I didn't see you.
Hello, Wendell.
Hi, Wendell.
Hey there.
Still there. What is that sound, Wendell?
From what I understand, it's a hum.
It feels very embarrassing to come back from vacation and already have things effed up on this show. We've been on the air 5 minutes now and already everything's falling apart. Yes, it's a hum.
From what I understand, it's a hum, sir.
Yes, it is a hum. Well, God knows I could use a good hum job.
Oh, yeah.
After this vacation. Hold on, Ann. Up. You know what? It has something to do with that, Wendell. Whatever you're touching.
No.
Let's all watch Wendell now.
What do you think, a ground loop problem, Wendell?
He is touching Buzz's microphone now.
Not sure.
Well, listen, hey, everybody, we're back.
Hi.
And you know, the slightest little inconvenience will throw us all asunder.
Totally stop the show. Today is the 6th of July, and our phone number is still 1-800-636-1067. I don't want to on a regular radio show at a regular radio station. There probably, I'm sure you folks think there's some kind of quality check that goes on.
Sure.
Before, you know, like during a NASA countdown.
No. That's still there.
If this show was really driving me nuts. If this show was NASA, you know what we'd be right now? Challenger, buddy.
Right.
We'd all be blowed up real good right now because we don't check one goddamn thing before we go on the air.
No, if we were pilots, seriously, we'd be getting into the cockpit going, that looks good to me. Go!
You smell gasoline?
What do you mean we can't take off from the tarmac?
Oh.
Hold on, what was that?
Did you fix it?
No.
No. Oh, that's a nasty sound.
No. That's why it's been dirty for years.
Oh, that's awful. Oh, now he's unplugged Buzz's microphone. Well, let me take this opportunity to say hello to everybody listening to us on our newest station in Detroit.
This is the kind of professional radio I'm sure Detroit would love to hear.
You know, it was just last week that we signed. Is it fixed, Buzz?
No. Wendell just left in tears.
Just last week we signed on in Detroit, and we're going to do the official sign-on now. So, Mike, if you would please get out your big bucket of water.
Well, I know that Detroit is a very large place, so I think this is going to be probably a more difficult birth than normal.
No problem.
I promise you.
No splatter factor. No nothing.
You say that every time. What I'd like you to do is just get back into the stirrups here, and we're going to see about delivering this big Detroit baby. All right.
Now keep in mind.
Maybe he's right. I'm right up there close, getting ready to catch this baby.
Keep in mind, I really, it's like the head's been out all week, so they've already been on the station for over a week now.
Yeah, it looks good.
Now you told me you weren't going to do that. That was not my fault.
I'm staying over here now. That still got on.
All right, we're getting close now.
All right, do you think I can come in closer now?
Yeah, where's it? You can take your mask off.
Okay, here we go. Okay, right hand.
Oh, there he is. Look at that, Detroit baby.
Hey, there he is.
A new affiliate is born. Our brand new radio station in Detroit. They must think we're the biggest idiots in the world because for the last week they've been listening to tapes of like us talking about fantasy and football and stuff because we play reruns when we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
The new station in Detroit is Extreme Talk Radio,
WKRK
97.1. And hello, great to be there. Just going to say it's not there, but no.
Just hiding.
No, as a matter of fact, it is there.
We would like to apologize for our newsman's hum.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Turn your radio down,
please.
Please turn it down.
All right, hold on.
That's it.
Yeah, we got nothing else to do.
We're back.
Hello.
It's official.
Hey, Mike, we will have our new intern, though. Mike, not to be confused with you, Mike.
Right.
Mike, the intern, will be outside on the street today seeing if he could actually fry eggs out there.
Ah, fantastic.
Kind of kooky.
Cool. Frying egg on the sidewalk.
That's right.
Right.
Don't forget, drink lots of water.
Yeah.
If one more TV guy says drink lots of water, I'm going to go down to the TV station and start shooting the place up.
It's like they get so excited that they don't have to do any real journalism, that they don't have to do any real work. They can just talk about the heat.
100 degrees again.
Aren't they familiar with the fact that when you talk about the weather, that's like the worst part of small talk? That's the worst, most uncreative part of small talk, and they're doing it on the news every hour on the hour.
Silly story. It's hot. Big deal. And don't tell me what the temperature to run my air conditioning at, okay?
Yeah, screw that.
I run my air conditioning at sub-freezing levels.
You adhere to the theory that the hotter it is outside, the colder it must be on the inside.
That's right. Yeah.
Here, here.
That's right.
I believe in that.
Hello.
Hey.
Okay, hi. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing great, thank you.
Good. Well, this is Kevin. I'm in Sacramento.
Right. Hello, Kevin.
Pretty good.
What do you say pretty good for?
I didn't ask you how you're doing.
Okay. How am I doing? A little nervous. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys how great the show was a couple weeks ago. And I also had a little bit of a complaint. I've been trying to advertise.
Oh, fantastic. Let's start. We've been gone for like 12 days. Let's start with a major malfunction in the equipment and then a complaint.
Okay.
Beautiful.
All right. We have been trying to advertise with you guys for the last about 2 months and with KHTK.
Right.
And we were sponsoring the prize locker and everything to start out with, and we turned everything in, and then they...
What the hell is the prize locker?
I have no idea.
Well, it's a thing that they do on the local...
What do you want to say?
I want to say that I was trying to advertise, and they won't let me.
That's ridiculous. If you have enough money, they'll let you advertise anywhere.
You're the perfect audience for us. And we have a laundry and
video. No, that's wrong, too.
What's that?
You mean we have the perfect audience for you?
Well, you are the perfect audience. I mean, you're the perfect draw.
You are an idiot.
Don't want him advertising.
Please.
Sorry.
I bet that the reason they didn't let the guy advertise is because he's such a big idiot.
That's what I'm
going to do. I can't concentrate on this show while this is going on to the next room.
Our engineer,
what is Wendell doing? He is what looks like some kind of a gynecological instrument over there right now.
That's actually one of those Bob Barker skinny microphones.
It is. It's a game show microphone. I go, oh, man, listen to that.
Oh, I see what you've done, Wendell.
Wow.
Switch microphones.
Is the hum gone?
Therefore, eliminating the hum.
Hey, yeah. Wendell.
Very nice, Wendell.
Yeah.
Now
listen,
listen to
that.
Bob Barker like he needs that. You show off. You're such a show off.
Jesus Christ.
Oh. The show's a car wreck. I swear to God, it's like carnage you see on the side of the road. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Donnie G, Mike the Pick, what is up? Welcome to D-Town.
Oh, good to be there.
Oh, Detroit, right.
Right on, man. Love having you guys here. And used to be a listener in Washington. Welcome aboard.
I would love to accept your wonderful kudos, but I'm sorry. I have the attention span of like a 3-year-old. I cannot concentrate until Buzz's microphone is done. Please hold on a second.
Wendell is now, is he taking the other microphone away?
Yes, he is. It's right in my throat.
Sir, are you going to have to hold the microphone? You don't have a microphone stand by?
Yeah, you look very authoritarian.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey. And Wendell, is that screwed on pretty well or what?
There you go. All right.
Oh, good. Okay.
Why don't you just let it dangle, Buzz?
What would happen if you just dangle there?
All right, hold on a second. Stand by. We're waiting for your kudo from Detroit. We're waiting until we get the problem taken care of.
Stick it right into your throat, Buzz. You'll sound like Robert Stack.
All right. Oh, dear.
Oh, you're like one of those guys with, like, the voice box, you know? Hey, how you doing, Dice? How are you? How you doing?
Oh, that's gross. That was the funniest part of his show.
Oh, Joe Pesci did to that guy in Casino.
Right.
Remember when he took the ballpoint pen and he just, like, cut the guy's throat out?
Oh, look at that. Look at how modern Buzz looks.
Buzz,
I think we're in business.
It's beautiful.
How about that? Hum is gone.
Problem solved.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
Well, now we'll accept your wonderful call from Detroit.
Donnie G, Mike the Pick, welcome.
Oh, the guy's starting all over again.
Are we sounding loud and clear in Motor City?
Indeed, they are. Everything is A-OK, man. Coming through loud and clear, and it's nice to have you guys on board. It was kind of peculiar tuning in one day, and there you guys were, best of, and it was awesome. And,
you know, it's the sweetest part, and I'll tell you a little behind the scenes about that.
Yeah, it was kind of strange, because Dahl was on, and then one day...
Yeah.
Pulled the plug.
This guy who, like, 20 years ago made my life a living hell when I worked in Chicago, this big pig, Steve Dahl. It's so ironic that now here, 20 years later, you know, he gets canned and we got to take his place.
Wow. You love that, don't you?
Yeah, you know, I love it big time.
That's great.
Absolutely love it big time.
All right.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, and great to have you on board again. And it's awfully warm here. I could sure go for an ice cold glass of lemonade.
He listened way back.
Wow.
Right. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I rented Goodfellas this week while you were on vacation.
Yeah?
And I know you love that movie. And it was got it from the Alexandria Blockbuster.
Right.
And on the temporary category, it said, Don and Mike.
Oh, it's not a temporary category. We have a deal in the Washington and Baltimore Blockbusters where we have our own section.
Oh, okay.
Yes, with movies that we've recommended.
Oh, great. Well, everything that says Don and Mike, I'll be watching.
Now, lots of good movies, too, you can get. You know, we know our film.
Great.
Skin, though. No porno, because they don't sell porno at Blockbuster.
Right. No.
Not like the
porno we had up in the office a minute ago. And I want to thank I forgot to bring that down and give it to Rob, but somebody sent me something from another magazine. This is not like a gay magazine. This is a gay porn magazine.
This is the grossest thing. Guys with big boners.
We had it in the office, and I couldn't believe it. I opened this thing up, and Rob, I was gonna bring it down to you and show you. I think it's called Odyssey. Is it Odyssey?
I don't know. It's gross, though. It's got like California Surfer Boys.
This is hardcore stuff.
And they're doing awful stuff to each other.
Yes,
just
they are.
Awful stuff to each other.
Homo Joe would like the publication, but I unfortunately threw it into the trash.
Oh, I saved the one you gave me, though.
Oh, you saved the one. That's the real hardcore part.
Yeah. We'll probably read it one day on there. We have a couple of videotapes. We have tons of stuff that piles up when we're not here.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a couple of videotapes to watch. We have one videotape that somebody sent me of What he says is allegedly a videotape of his parents having sex.
Oh.
The guy sent up a tape in his mom and dad's house.
Oh.
And then sent us the tape.
Oh, God!
We have another messy girl tape to watch.
Oh, you mean a new one?
Yes, a new one. And we have a third tape. One of these new tapes that's going to be mass marketed on cable TV. Lovers Caught in Action.
Oh, okay, very good.
So it's people like in convenience stores having sex that are caught on the security cameras. So at some point this week, we'll bring a VCR and we got a whole bunch of great stuff to watch.
Fantastic. Cool.
Hello there.
La 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 la, Christina Mendonca.
Oh, please. You know, we're gone a week and a half, and this is the best our audience can deliver.
And I know every phone sounds different, but would it be me if I thought the phone sounded just a little weird today?
No, I think they're okay. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, have you seen the Washington Times today on the back of, the front page? There's a picture of Sarah Jessica Parker, and she looks like she's been dead for around 6 weeks.
But Sarah Jessica Parker is a man. There is no doubt about it. She has big, burly man arms.
She's starring in that HBO show, Sex in the City, based on the book written by Candace Bushnell.
That's a girl that Mike went to high school with.
That's a girl, and she's got, she looks like the skin's hanging on her bones, and she's very mannish.
Sex in the City was based on the book by Candace Bushnell, who invited me to go to the senior prom with her.
Oh. You didn't get anything off her, though.
No, I didn't get anything off of any of my prom dates. I didn't. It was kind of a tradition for me. And none of the prom dates I had, but Candace Bushnell and I went, I have to say this.
Candace Bushnell.
We went as friends.
Bushnell.
We went as friends. It was kind of a friend. The other two proms that I went to.
That's so gay. We went as friends.
We did. We were friends, and I knew going into that one that there was absolutely no chance. The other two, with Melissa Young and Sue Flynn, both those women, I really was, I had fantasies going in, and there's nothing happening.
Really? I had anal sex in my prom.
No, you did not.
Oh, yes, I did.
You did not.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
No, hi, this is Surf.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys kick ass.
Right, okay. Okay.
Well, there's an individual who's glad to have us back on.
They're here. There, here, listen, here's what's coming up on the show. Today, as I mentioned, Mike the intern will be frying eggs out on the sidewalk.
Yes, it's hot enough to do that, don't you know?
Do you remember before we went on vacation, we had a discussion about latex?
Yes.
And we had a couple of girls come down here and take their clothes off, and they wanted to pour latex on each other and then
liquid latex.
And then peel it off?
Right.
Well, those girls are coming down.
Ah, fantastic.
We got the latex, so they're coming down to put on a two-girl show.
Excellent.
Also, what with the hot weather and stuff, I want to throw this out to all of our female listeners. This is just for the girls, not for the boys, okay?
For women only. We have to make that very, very clear.
Right, this is a contest for girls only, and this is a contest that's going to take you a couple of days.
Okay.
With the weather being so hot and all, what I want you to do is think about getting a stencil. Remember that when you were kids and you used to, like, draw and paint with stencil, they have, like, letters you can go to a craft store
right. And
find, like, cut-out letters?
Okay.
What I'd like you to do is sit outside and sunbathe topless.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of your breasts, write Don.
Okay.
And the other one, write Mike.
And the most creative.
First.
Yeah. Oh, the first.
Pick the first one because the first. Not an easy thing.
Right.
To suntan our names.
Yes.
Onto your boobs.
So the first, and we have to make sure that it's legit, too, that you don't put that. I guess you could put that hyper tanning cream on, you know, and do it that way, too.
Yeah, you know,
right?
I guess you could.
But who knows? I mean, the first one wins.
Yeah, and we'll give $100 to the first lady who can come down to the Don and Mike Radio Show at Don and Mike World Headquarters here on 10800 Main Street in Tupelo, Fairfax, Virginia.
Yes.
First girl to come down and have our names on her boobs because it's so hot and all, well, she'll win $100.
Fantastic.
That's plus, great. Today we're going to be starting our new contest for this month where we're going to be paying rents and mortgages again.
Good.
And we're going to give you the opportunity to either have your rent paid or your mortgage paid or to pay your electricity bill.
Ah, yes.
Because in some cases, the electricity might be more than the rent or the mortgage, especially if you're like me, and you don't listen to the Nimrods on TV, and you just run your TV, your AC like an icebox all the
time. You told me a long time ago you're not afraid of a brownout.
Oh, I got a brownout happening right now, Mike.
I got a pimple head. I saw Austin Powers. I went to see it again.
Again?
On my vacation. Yeah, it was funny. It actually is funnier the second time you go see it.
We saw Wild Wild West.
How was that?
It was okay. You know, I like Will Smith.
You know the guy Mark S. Allen that talks about us all the time?
In Sacramento, right.
I saw him in the newspaper today here in Washington, D.C. I saw him in the newspaper, and he was quoted
for Wild Wild West.
Oh, that must show the level of crappy reviews that movie's getting if they put his name.
It's in the Post, and it was weird because they give him... Isn't he with a local television station out there?
Yeah, the Warner Brothers affiliate, I think.
And it was UPN, maybe. It said
same difference.
It said Mark S. Allen, and it was kind of weird to see his name there.
We went to see it, and it was okay. Mm-hmm. But I liked it because I generally like anything Will Smith does.
Right.
But I couldn't get past the fact that it's supposed to be 1869.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, how many black guys were government secret agents in 1869?
Well, you probably are, a purist, too, that you wanted to see Robert Conrad in the role of James West.
Not necessarily. I'm a big Will Smith fan. It's just, I found it a little, of course, the whole movie's unbelievable to begin with, but it's a little more unbelievable when he goes walking into the White House,
right,
in 1869, because it was just a few years earlier that, that Lincoln had freed the slaves and all that jazz.
So you enjoyed it or you didn't enjoy it?
No, it was okay.
But didn't they have a lot of space age stuff, too, like a little sci-fi stuff, or...
Well, lots of big machines.
Always did on the Wild Wild West, on the TV show. They had machines and...
No, but this is nothing like the TV show.
Did they have a dwarf? Kooky. Did they have a dwarf? No.
See,
I mean, Dr. Loveless was the best villain on Wild Wild West.
Dr. Loveless in the movie doesn't have legs. He has a, like a wheelchair that has rocket ships on the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so he flies around and stuff.
Well, I'd like to see that. I like the song.
The movie was okay. It was enjoyable. And after I saw the movie, I was watching one of those shows like Entertainment Tonight. You mentioned Robert Conrad.
Right.
He is pissed off. They were interviewing him about it, right? They said, hey, what do you think about the movie? And Robert Conrad said, I want to tell you something. He's got a huge attitude.
Right.
I want to tell you something. They didn't ask me to be in that movie. I wouldn't have been in the movie if they had asked me to be in it. You just remember this. When you see the Wild Wild West movie, that's their movie, okay? It's their movie. I did the TV show. I'm proud of the TV show. And he just looks at the camera and goes like, ugh. Very bitter. That's bad PR. If you're a has-been star,
sure,
and you were not asked to be like in a remake of a TV show that's being made in the movie, just don't say anything because it makes you look just cheesy when you come out and you bitch about the fact that you weren't asked to be in the movie.
If you really hate it, what you do is you just go into hiding for a while. You just become completely unavailable so you don't have to give it any good or bad review.
Or you do like that guy Dr. Smith did when he came on our show. Remember when he talked about how they wanted him to do a one-day walk-on on Lost in Space? Irwin called me.
I said, what's the party? He said, it's one day's work. And I said, F you.
Dr. Smith from Lost in Space dropped the F-bomb on this show.
It's like not the first time that remakes of television shows in the movies have, had urinated all over the people that are, doing the TV show.
Wild Wild West, a huge business, though.
Yep.
Yep. $37 billion.
But you told me that your movie is doing real well.
Now, Star Wars near $400 million already.
That's good.
Hasn't even been out 2 months. I'm feeling much better about that bet than I am about this one.
Oh. Do we have to change the tote board?
Yes, we do. We have to change the McGuire Sosa tote board. McGuire, buddy, has hit now 32.
Yeah, Sosa is at 32.
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said McGuire.
Right.
Sosa's at 32. And McGuire's at 26.
Oh, boy. So it's a pretty good lead for Sammy Sosa. That is your current total of the home run race. Of course, our home run plaque is courtesy International Collector Society at www.icsnow.com.
Very good.
You have a commanding lead.
And you are feeling confident about your other bet, the head shaving bet, which do you consider a more severe payoff if you...
The head shaving.
Right.
Forget it. Dennis Murphy could come stay at my house if I lose the home run bet.
Mm-hmm.
That's 12 hours out of my life. He's there at 8 p.m. I take him out at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to get my head shaved, it's going to be months until this hair grows back. So I'm feeling good about the Star Wars bet since it's already made almost $400 million. It's only been out like 2 months already.
And it has to make, 600.
600 million. Now, this bet, I'm not feeling too good about, the McGuire Sosa bet, especially last week.
Yeah.
But every time I look in the newspaper, I say, Sammy Sosa has done it again.
But I had that baseball thing happening with this bet, where, my luck with baseball and bets in baseball, I never win baseball bets. And I'll tell you right now, it's baseball and anything can happen. You never know when, Sammy Sosa might trip over first base, break his ankle. Anything could happen.
God, I hope so.
It's baseball.
I really, really do.
Baseball.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, what's going on, Dynamite?
Yes, buddy.
I just wanted to know if you guys got a chance to see South Park while you were on vacation.
No, I almost went to see it, actually, because everything I rented that movie is funny. I hate the TV show, but everything I rented that movie is really, really funny.
The movie you could probably only get away with doing the movie if it was cartooned.
And a real surprise weekend, too. Did a lot better than most people thought it would.
Came in fourth. Yeah, did okay. All right, thank you.
All right.
All right, goodbye. Hello there, Dynamite show. Hello.
Dynamite, Radio God.
Hey, Monty.
Hi. Wondering if y'all are doing anything this Saturday for King's Dominion's Gay Day.
Oh, really? It's Gay Day at the amusement park?
Is that an invitation?
What's that?
Is that an invitation?
That it is.
Oh. You know, maybe we'll have to send a homosexual Joseph out there.
Gay Day at King's Dominion.
I definitely think Don and Mike needs to make an appearance.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
So a lot of corn dogs that day.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You guys go anywhere for your vacation?
Well, of course, like, listen, promise me, we'll spend the whole rest of the show telling you about our awful vacations.
Okay.
Okay.
That much?
What?
You really suck that much?
With the vacation?
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. I'm only speaking for myself. We bitch a lot about how long we have between vacations, and I was really ready to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we went away, like for 2 days, frankly, I was ready to come back.
I had a working vacation. I actually did a lot of work on my vacation. I did a videotape. An oral family history where I did almost 4 hours of interviewing older members of my family to do this.
Oh, that's torture, man.
Only one older member of my family.
Your mother?
79 years old, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And it was, you know, I thought it was just...
What a nightmare that would be.
I thought I'd actually sit there and it would be something where she would just talk, mm-hmm. and instead it was very combative.
Oh,
during several, where I would say, listen, when you mention someone on the tape, you don't say he or she, you have to mention their name, because when I'm putting it together, so future generations will understand if you mention the name. And then she said, all right, well, I said before that she was, I mean, no, not she, mom, you understand this is for, please just mention the name of the person. And then a lot of times where she'd be looking at me as the tape was rolling, and she would say something like, well, as I said before, and she's looking at me, and I'm trying to make this sweet little oral family history, and it's going to look nice. And she would be looking
oral
at me.
Oral family history.
And she was looking at me, saying things along the lines of, well, this is redundant because I said this before.
Well, you can edit all that out.
You know, the moments, well, I'm going to also put together the outtakes, too. Because there are, you know, moments where you see the camera going, all right, mom, hold on, let me just put it on standby. And then she comes back with tears in her eyes. No, it was an interesting endeavor. I thought it would be a lot easier than it was. It actually turned out to be rather...
Tedious. And, you know, we had a weird vacation because Bart wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And because Bart's over in Europe right now, it put a lot of undue pressure on Frida and myself. Since, you know, I'm sure it's this way with you, too. You know, our life pretty much revolves around our son.
Yes.
And especially vacation time.
Right.
So it's like we got up to the beach and we were there, and it's like we get up in the morning and there's no diversion. There was no speed bump between Frida and me. It was
you
like,
wake up in the morning and say, what are we going to do today?
Right.
Scary a little bit.
Right. Absolutely. That's why I came back a day early. I swear to God, I came back from vacation yesterday, and my wife didn't come back till today because I had too much togetherness with her.
Your wife had mentioned something. Isn't this like this was a dress rehearsal for when
he goes to college.
When he leaves the nest permanently. Yeah. How did the dress rehearsal go?
You know, it went okay. She wanted to talk a lot and wanted, you know, to get in touch with the feelings and stuff. And we sniped at each other a lot during the vacation. Like, here's one of our big arguments. Every day we'd go to the ocean, okay? We'd go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was so beautiful. Well, here's the routine. Because they'd never find a place to park, I'd pull up by the boardwalk, and I'd let her out.
Right.
Then I would have to go park 2 miles away and carry all the crap. Carry the chairs. Okay, she's got this stupid contraption that is a beach umbrella and a table all in one.
Cool.
And it has, well, yeah, it's cool until you try to carry it.
Pretty heavy.
It's got all this Velcro and crap on it. So I would come every day like the donkey, like the mule. I'd come hauling all the crap. Have to walk, but my feet are burning on the asphalt. And so I finally get there and I'd sit down and she goes, okay, I'm glad you're here. As I'm glad I'm here, too. I'd sit down, then she'd say, why don't you go get us lunch? And after 1, 2, maybe 3 days of this, as a matter of fact, it was the third day we were there, she said to me, which one of us is going to go get lunch today? And I said, how about you? And forget about it. She's so pissed at me about that. She huffed off, she went, she got us lunch, you know, she came back and she sat down and then she gave me the cold shoulder for the whole rest of the day. And I said to her finally, about 2 hours later, what's your problem today? She said, what's my problem? My problem is, and then I heard this lecture a lot on vacation.
Right.
That She does stuff for me all the time.
Did you say, was that direct? I'm just going to stop you for a second. Was that a direct quote the way you said that? Because if,
yes.
Because perhaps, I mean, if you had rephrased it, you know.
No, listen, I've done it.
You.
It's just said, which one of us is going to go get lunch today?
What if you had said, just, I mean, because I don't know your relationship. I don't know how you
got. Oh, please,
you
know my relationship.
What if you had, I really don't know the answer to this question. What if you had said, would you mind getting it today? Because I've done it a lot this week. Would you mind getting it this time? Would you have gotten it differently?
You know, she probably would have gone. But frankly, I was tired from carrying all the crap up.
Sure.
It was like, and this day, when I carried her umbrella and her table and stuff, by the time I got to the beach, she had already rented an umbrella.
Oh, really?
So I said, what'd you rent an umbrella for? I'm hauling your umbrella here like your pack mule.
And what are you going to the beach with an umbrella for anyway? You're on the beach to get sun.
Well, no,
you have an umbrella for.
That's her. That's not me.
Oh, really?
That's her.
You believe that, though, too, right? I mean, what's the point of having an umbrella if you're there to soak up the sun?
Well, that's the other thing she was mad about is that it was windy. And, you know, she said that the sand was burning her and stuff. And the wind was blowing up. So she had to set the umbrella up like it was like her little tent there.
I think you guys are going to do fine when he leaves.
Yeah, so she said, which one of us is going to go get lunch today? I said, how about you? And, I mean, she was pissed at me all day long. And then I said, what's wrong? I got the whole issue. No, I do stuff for you all the time, and I ask you to do one simple thing for me. You can't be gracious about it. You know, and at that point, you just got to sit there and just take it. You know, just on the beach, just got to sit there and you just take it. Yeah, okay. All right.
Okay, that's fine. I'll get lunch tomorrow. And he's not back from his trip yet.
No, he's not back till next Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and you know what? Here she is right now. She is like clockwork. Hello, darling.
You know no one believes a word you're saying.
Is that not absolutely true? I swear.
You know you have never been my pack horse.
I swear to God, verbatim.
Carried my umbrella. Tell your buddy what I carried up that same day.
I don't know. What did you carry?
I carried two chairs, a bag with books in it, our blanket, and all our towels. I carried everything. I didn't even ask you to carry my umbrella that day. You did that out of the goodness of your heart.
Right, because I'm such a great guy.
Yeah, right. And how many days in a row did you get lunch?
Three. And then on the fourth day, you said, which one of us is going to get lunch?
No,
and I said, how about you? And that's when the Cold War started.
That was day two, I said. Well,
it wasn't day two, honey.
All right.
It was not day two.
We'll just go back through history, and we'll ask anyone who knows you and me who is usually the more accurate.
I'm telling you, that's correct, honey. It was Thursday. It was a week ago Thursday when we had the big meltdown on the beach in front of everybody.
Tricky, I know that's the way it was in your mind. I know you're not purposely distorting the truth.
That is the truth. I swear to God, I'm not distorting anything.
That's why you left me on the beach. Carried me down to the surf.
Let me tell you something else about it.
Like the movie Arthur.
No, let me tell you something else about it. You ever seen the movie 6 Days, 7 Nights with Harrison Ford?
Yep, okay.
You know how she's like yelling at Harrison Ford that he's not doing enough when they're stranded? Okay, the first day we're at the beach, we took the jet ski out.
Mm-hmm.
And because we'd not been on the jet ski yet, we ran out of gas.
Right.
We ran out of gas, and again, you here, Miss Honesty, you tell me, more than a mile away from the shore, we ran out of gas, right?
Right.
Right. So you know what we had to do? I had to get out and push the thing in. Now, I'm in water.
You were a mile away from where you had to get back to. You weren't 1 mile out at sea.
We were out in the bay. But we were in the middle of the bay.
Okay.
We were a mile away from...
I'm not trying to challenge you now. Just, when you say a mile away from shore, that just sounds like
you
were out there like with the marlin or something.
No, that's accurate.
One mile offshore is a very dangerous thing to do.
We don't know how far we were an hour away from shore by foot.
Honey,
we're
not trying to cause any more trouble.
We were as far down as that golf course.
Yeah, well, I don't know how long a mile is, but I'm agreeing with you.
All right,
but
listen to her. So we run out of gas on this thing. The first time we take the damn thing out. Mm-hmm. So I say, all right, I will get out and I will push it. Now, what I have to do is get out. I got water up to my neck.
Oh, so you're in the shallows where you can actually push the thing? And
yeah, except it's not so easy because the bottom of the ocean...
Right.
We're not in the ocean. We're in a bay area.
The bottom of the bay, it's like putting your feet in poop. Okay? It's that, black stuff. And I'm pushing this big 600-pound jet ski, and I'm going like an inch a minute. It's very tedious work.
Meanwhile, the princess, she's sitting up on top, gets out her cell phone, starts calling her friends. I don't say anything.
Who's bored?
I keep pushing. At one point, we're a half hour into this, right? And we can't even see where we're supposed to be yet. We're so far out. She turns to me and she says, is there any way we could go a little faster? I said, listen, princess.
It was a joke.
I said, this could go a little faster if you would get off and push.
I did.
Yeah, and when you did, it started going wrong. Because when you got off is when you said, now listen, what we should do is we should swim.
You know, if we want to lay blame here, let's talk about the person who didn't read the instructions before he went out on his jet ski. I mean, I didn't say anything about that, or that you don't pull the choke out. And we had a reserve tank, only we didn't know how to use it.
All right, listen, hold on, one last thing. Who ran over the dog? Okay?
Oh, no.
All right. Who ran over the dog?
That was the dog's fault. The dog's fault.
No. You ran over the dog with your car.
She was relatively unharmed compared to how she
my
was.
My wife,
dog.
Brandy. My wife ran over the dog with her car.
I'm immediately suspicious.
She survived?
She survived? What happened? I mean, did you, like, with a tire?
She's staying at Grandma's house now. She lives down there.
We think we farmed her off on my in-laws now.
Oh, really?
But let's not get away from the story about how you ran the dog over. You viciously ran the dog over with your big truck.
No, I did. And the trailer, too. Not just the truck, but it had a trailer on it, too.
You know, I said to her, when I got in the car, she said, I think I ran the dog over.
Oh.
No.
I said, how?
I mean, because luckily I heard her. I had the air conditioning on the radio, and I heard this, and then I went and looked under the car, and the dog was there. The wheels didn't get her.
I said, wouldn't you feel like the thump, thump, thump when you run over a dog with two tires?
If you had hit it, I guess, with the tires, the dog would be history.
Right.
Yeah, so the dog was very lucky that he was centered between the wheels. Is that where
that's
it was?
Right. That's right.
Oh,
and
my
then she
God.
Tried to stand up when I was driving away, I think was our main, because there was some.
She hit her head then because she tried to stand up and, like, the truck hit her in the back of the head.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Like, of all your dogs, that's the one that needed to be hit by the car.
Well, that's the one that did need to be hit by the car.
Okay, yeah, very, very, very sick.
She feels much better at Grandma's.
All right, honey. Well, listen, I love you.
All right, I love you, too, but, you know, I was ready for vacation then, too. You didn't see me crying when you left the day early.
Oh, no, but who called me as soon as I was driving away? Phone rings. You're not leaving because you don't want to spend time with me anymore, do you?
No.
Didn't you make that call to me yesterday?
Yeah, but as soon as you said no, then all was fine.
Right, okay, well, I was lying to you.
All right. Oh. All right.
All right. I love you.
Thanks for letting me know. Goodbye,
right.
Boo-Boo.
All right. Love you.
I love you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. The magic continues. Got your old Brandy sitting there, you know. Probably most dogs would hear the car start up and see the wheels start moving.
She's deaf. That dog's deaf.
Oh, that car might be coming right at me, dog. Yeah, the old big truck and the trailer's going to run over old Brandy.
See, that's the hypocrisy of my wife. And God, I love her. Don't make any mistake about it. I love her more than anything. But if that was me that had done that,
right,
I'd be hearing crap about it for weeks. I come back home at the end of the day, and I say, what'd you do today? She says, well, you know that way she laughed? I think I ran over the dog today.
Oh, my God. And now Brandy's no longer living in your house.
Well, that's temporary.
Is it possibly going to be permanent?
Yes, my father-in-law is for the dog living with them. My mother-in-law
does not want the dog.
Oh, really? So we've left the dog there this week.
That answers that question. You'll see the dog in about 2 weeks. The fact that Brandy's living anywhere is temporary.
And I got to do it with my mother-in-law, too.
You got into a fight with your mother-in-law?
Well, not directly.
You make her cry?
When we're at the beach.
Well, old people cry when they get upset.
When we are at the beach, our place is right next door to my in-law's house. I mean, 10 feet away. Yet, the woman insists on calling my wife. One day, I actually counted 18 times she called. And she calls and she says, hello, I called to tell Frida it's raining outside. I'm like, we don't have windows. And she calls me, I called to tell you that it's going to be near 100 degrees today. Okay, so every day she calls like a million times for the most, the piddly-ass stuff.
Right.
But I don't say anything about it because, you know, certainly my mom and I have a crappy relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm all for Frida Evans' relationship with her mother. However, it came to a head one night last week, about 11:15, lying in bed, finally going to sleep. Phone rings.
11:15?
11:15.
free to pick up the phone, and I just jumped out of bed, and I said, no more calls. Tell your mother no more calls.
Specifically so she could hear it on the other end. Right?
That was not my intent.
Oh,
however, that is the way that it worked out.
Oh, dear.
Because then the next morning when I woke up, I said, you know, good morning. I didn't even remember that it happened.
Free said to me, you have to apologize to my mother.
Oh, those are the worst. I said, why do you have to apologize to your mother? Because she heard you last night when you said no more calls.
Tough not to side with you on the post 11 o'clock phone call.
Right. Plus, the phone was ringing anyway at 2:30 in the morning because my son was calling us from Europe.
It was early morning.
8:30 in London,
right.
So he would call us at 2:30 in the morning.
Well,
listen, suffice to say, so glad to be back. Right? I've got plenty more weekend stuff to tell you, including what I think is a pretty major celebrity sighting that we saw also.
Oh, really?
Up at the Eastern Shore over the weekend.
Bigger than Vanilla Ice?
Oh, much, and I mean literally bigger than Vanilla Ice. Okay?
All right.
We got a whole bunch of weekend stuff to get through, and then we'll be trying the egg outside, the girls with the names on their boobs, and everything else. Let's start today's show with a caller 100.
All right.
And a prize package that we've selected especially for you. Telephone number is still 1-800-636-1067. We'll give you a prize. We'll put you into... Oh, how confusing is this? We'll put you in the running for the Renter Mortgage Contest.
Okay.
Plus, we'll put you in the running for Friday's weekly giveaway of the DVD player.
Well, that's good because it increases your chances of winning.
Yeah, and we've got that before you. Caller 100 right now. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Can we go, please? We go? Baby, look at me. Look at me. Your money, you know what else? You're a big winner tonight.
I want to leave.
You're a big winner. I'm going to ask you a simple question. I want you to listen to me. Who's the big winner here tonight at the casino? Huh? Mikey, that's you. Mikey's the big winner. Mikey wins.
Yeah.
They go together like white suits and German shepherds. Don Geronimo and Michael Mira.
That's a fine.
That is.
Here is the caller 100 right now. Hello, Don, on my show.
Hi, guys.
Hey, buddy, who's this?
This is Travis.
Where are you from, Travis?
I'm calling from California out here in Greenfield.
Beautiful. Caller 100, you want a Wild Wild West prize pack from AMC and Warner Brothers. Let's see, Will Smith, Kevin Kline, and Wild Wild West. But wait, there's more. Qualified for Friday's weekly giveaway, where we're giving away another DVD player from DVD Express.
Cool.
Shop the web's number one DVD superstore, DVD Express. But wait, there's still more. You've also qualified for this month's grand prize giveaway, where we pay a whole bunch of rents and mortgages or electric payments, okay?
Yeah. Excellent.
How much do you pay every month in renter mortgage?
I pay $750.
Beautiful. Any idea how much your electric bill is?
My electric bill would be, I'd say... $100.
Probably a lot less than that. All right, well, listen, whatever you want, if we pick your name at the end of the month, we'll pay your rent or your mortgage.
Okay, cool.
Or your electric. Thank you for listening.
All right, guys.
Hold on a second.
I know a guy one time, his monthly rent was $400 a month. His monthly electric bill was $1 million.
Yes,
that's right.
You know what I mean? Long before I was married, back when I was just a struggling disc jock,
yes,
when I would be living like in a garden apartment.
Yeah,
I
lived in one of those gardens.
And an apartment complex.
They're lovely.
And no, it's not. It's a bitch when everything's inclusive, like your rent and your electricity.
But it sounds good when you sign in the lease.
Yeah. However, you know, try it the first day of May when it gets to be 95 degrees.
Right.
And call downstairs. Like I said, oh, we don't turn on the AC until, like, Memorial Day or until the 4th of July.
Right? I know. And they withhold the cool air from you.
That's what it's a bitch.
Utilities included is always a major selling point with apartments.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
It really is. You just feel like you want to go in and make it 90 degrees in the middle of the winter and then, you know, make it 20 degrees. But it doesn't always work.
Yeah, except you can't a lot of times.
Yeah, you can't. They monitor you.
It's a big joke.
Yep.
Oh, let me tell you who the celebrity is. Why, Robbie?
Well, a good trick you can do if in the summertime you can keep something hot, like a bowl of hot water under your thermostat, and it'll run continually. Do the same thing with an ice pack in the winter. Not that I've ever done that when I was a college student in Richmond, but you can do that.
I got you.
You are a genius.
Brain speedway.
That's what we call them, brains.
All right, now I do have a bunch of other of the stuff from the vacation to tell you about, but let me tell you about the celebrity that we saw.
Okay.
In a restaurant in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
That's where some, you know, well-known individuals hang out.
Okay. I will give you one hint, and I bet you get it from the hint.
Very good.
You ready?
Here it is. Male or female?
Yes.
Male and female.
Mainly female. You don't know from that?
Rosie O'Donnell?
No. Buzz, you want to guess?
Well, I'll say Roseanne, then.
No. Oh. Robbie, you want to guess?
They took my guess.
I want another hint. I need another hint. Okay. Because we have you use that for so many celebrities.
All right, what's the hint I can give you?
It's a girl.
It's a girl?
Big girl.
She's a big girl.
Mindy Cohn.
No.
Damn,
Buzz.
Man.
She can really put away the food.
Somebody say Oprah?
Not Oprah.
Ricky Lake?
Not Ricky Lake.
Damn.
Movies or television?
No.
Neither?
Neither.
Oh, Hart? Got it.
Yes.
The Fabulous Sports Babe?
No.
I'll give you one more guess, Mike. You said you were going to give me another hint.
I'm giving you the hint right now.
Old or young?
Young.
Ah, Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yes, yeah, that big old Monica Lewinsky. Who went into this restaurant? It is a restaurant with a Monica.
Would you like an aperitif, Ms. Lewinsky?
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you liked your salad. You didn't touch
myself. I gotta tell you, she was easy.
Really.
See, we went to this place called Mancini's, which is up on Route 1.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, it's between Fenwick Island and Rehoboth, okay?
Right?
And they listen to the show up there. So when I come in, I see the owner of the place. He goes, hey, you know, how you doing? One of these Italian guys that kiss me on both the cheeks and stuff. And he says, I got a special table for you. Come back here. He says, now when you come around the corner, don't stare.
Mm-hmm.
But Monica Lewinsky's at the back table. Oh, really? I said, put me somewhere where I can watch her. So I spent the better part of 2.5 hours.
Cool move by the owner of the restaurant.
Watching Monica Lewinsky eat. And I want to tell you something. That girl can use her mouth. She had some kind of pasta
mm-hmm.
that had, like, shells on the top of it. Okay? First, she would, with her fork, she would...
Probably a brick of cheese covered by pasta shells.
She would twirl the pasta, and then she did that thing where she'd have a noodle hanging out of her mouth, and she'd get...
suck it in.
Where she would suck it in. Then the little shells...
Right.
She would take the shells, and I noticed that most other people at the table in the restaurant, they give you like a little tiny shrimp fork.
Right.
That you're supposed to like get the goo out with.
Right.
She would just take the shell.
Something like a snail or something
yeah.
like that?
She'd take it up to her mouth and just...
She would suck the snail. Well, I'm sure it's something she's probably rather accustomed to.
About the first time she sucked the snail. And everybody that came into the restaurant was staring at her.
Yeah, I'm sure she gets that everywhere she goes.
Yet nobody approached her, like, for her autograph
right.
or to say hello to her.
Mm-hmm.
She had on...
Or to offer her a roll.
All right, are you ready for the dinner total?
Right.
Well, first let me tell you what she was wearing. She had on...
Dark colors?
A black dress with big white dots on it.
Really?
Oh. If you want to wear something on public that says, hey... Look at me.
Look at me. Was it kind of a summer outfit?
Yes. Yeah. She had a matching band in her hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she had on tennis shoes with no socks.
Oh, gross.
Just imagine. At one point, I said to Frida, can you imagine what those shoes smell like? And she said, that would be a good contest. But if I took off my shoes and Monica Lewinsky took off her shoes, which shoes would smell the worst?
And she was really packing it away.
Okay. We happened to get there just after she did,
mm-hmm.
so we watched everything she ate.
Right.
Now, this was at her table, although she ate most of the food. She was there with two other people, a man and a woman, not her parents.
All right.
Okay. Two orders of garlic bread.
Mm-hmm.
Then they brought by a pizza, and she ate most of the pizza, which was like an appetizer pizza. Then they brought this, and I mean... Place has huge portions. Where they
right.
bring the plates are gigantic
mm-hmm.
with all the pasta and the snails and stuff that she was sucking down. Then after that, she was still hungry, so they brought another one of these pizzas. And they're like not as big as a Domino's pizza.
Right.
But, you know, they're About that big. You know, yeah. It was like 12-inch pizza.
And she polished that off, too.
Finished that off. Then they brought the dessert tray over.
Oh.
And she had what appeared to be some kind of, like, chocolate cheesecake.
Yes, sir. How was everything, Ms. Lewinsky? Was everything to your total satisfaction?
And even though we were done eating way before she was, we purposely waited and had an extra cup of coffee.
Sure.
Just so I could take a look at her ass.
Mm-hmm.
When she got up to leave.
And the final review?
I mean, huge. That girl has a gigantic ass. I am not exaggerating.
Like
this big. You see how far apart my hands are?
Yeah.
Like, and I am probably being favorable to
her. That's very kind.
By saying that that's, well... No, that's about right. That's like about 2.5 feet.
Why?
Just a gigantic ass.
And she appeared to enjoy her meal, obviously.
Oh, laughing and eating it at one point. She said to me, look, she has food in the corners of her mouth.
Yeah, there you go.
And I looked up and she had this big ass-eating grin on her face. And she had, like,
cheese,
spaghetti sauce, red tomato sauce on both corners of her mouth.
Oh, lovely. Lovely lady. You know, the lady likes to eat. I think anybody that's, follows the stories of Monica Lewinsky knows that.
So the whole time she was there, nobody said anything to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got up to leave. And I was not the only one that was staring at her ass.
Right.
And I mean, it was like one of those commercials with E.F. Hutton. Remember they said, when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens? As soon as she left the restaurant, the second she walked out, it's like a dinner. I mean,
she's there.
She's big in the house. Once she did the Clinton.
The people she was with, did they appear to be peers or older people?
Like we guessed maybe friends of her parents.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what we thought, friends of the parents. Because they got into a car, not that we were stalking her, but they got into a car that had local Delaware tags on it.
Ah.
And then they drove off to the right.
Not to get Dairy Queen.
You know, here's the Dairy Queen. I swear to God, like within 30 feet of this restaurant.
Nothing tops off that chocolate cheesecake more than a dip cone. Thank you.
The only thing that I asked about her on the way out, the owner, nice guy, Frank, said, is everything okay? I said, are you kidding us? It's like getting a show with dinner.
Right.
It's fantastic. He said, how was the tip? And he said, she didn't pay. Then the guy paid.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was a very generous tipper.
Very good tipper.
However, when they called in advance to the restaurant, said, hey, we're bringing Monica Lewinsky in.
Oh, really?
To make sure that they could get a tape.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's who I saw. Yeah. She's not a good-looking woman, man.
No, I wouldn't think in person.
The whole time we were sitting there, I was, back off Frida and I talked about during dinner. I, look at her and I look at Frida and go, how could Clinton have done that?
Mm-hmm.
I know she was much thinner then.
Yeah, but still.
How could he have sex with her? And then Frida said to me, well, boy, what about when she came on White House, lifted up her dress to show him her cheesy brown thong?
Take a look, Mr. President.
So not only has she not lost weight, you say she's actually gained weight since the story.
She's bigger now. Remember the picture they had in the Enquirer when she was jogging?
Absolutely.
She is bigger now than in that picture.
Well, the book tour being by and large over, and I mean large over, she's probably just saying, what the heck? Throw caution to the wind. And it's probably, in her opinion, if she gets to be big, super duper sloppy fat, it'll be less of a burden for her. You know, if she looks like she did when she was with the president, then it'll be more. If she can eat herself unrecognizable. Maybe that's the goal.
She does have DSLs, though.
Does she really?
There's no doubt about it.
Was she wearing ruby red lipstick?
Like a maroon shade. She does
smell perfumey and all? I mean, were you
too far away? Couldn't smell her.
Too far away.
Mm-hmm. She does have DSLs, though. She definitely does.
And she has large breasts, doesn't she?
Yeah. Of course, she's fat, though. Yeah, I mean, like, all fat chicks have big boobs.
Not all fat chicks have big boobs. Not all obese chicks have. Super, super duper. Remember we had the ugly breast contest?
Yeah, that's right.
You can be super morbidly obese and have no breasts at all. It's a tragedy, but it's true. It can happen.
Man, I saw some boobs on the boardwalk, though. You know what I mean? There's some major boobs when you go to Ocean City. There's some boobs there.
That's the place where they're showing them.
And that's one thing about boobs. I look at boobs, even if they're ugly boobs, even if like a flat girl, but you can see something, I look. I definitely look.
Have your mirrored sunglasses on.
And I'm always telling Frida to adjust herself.
Right.
Because at one point when Frida was lying on the beach, I was sitting reading a book and she was lying down. And I noticed that from the angle I'm at, like the way that my wife's bathing suit was lifted up, it could look like right down the front of her top.
You could see everything.
Yeah.
So I said, hey, adjust yourself there.
She had the strap undone?
No, it was just...
Did your wife do that thing where she lies on her stomach and undoes the bra strap?
No, but I saw plenty of girls doing that.
I love that move. I'm all for that move.
Am I always tempted, like, to go up and spill some water on them or something?
Ice cold. Just sit there and get some ice water in one of those super big Gulf containers and just swish it around until it gets, Arctic quality and then throw it on.
Yeah! Listen, as long as you know the subject of Monica Lewinsky, let me tell you one more thing that happened. This is gross.
Mm-hmm.
This is from somebody that's not from this country, a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Foreign family, I think they're from India. They had that look about them, okay? You know what I mean? You size up where somebody's from.
Okay.
We're down on the beach. My wife was walking with her sister,
mm-hmm.
and I was sitting on the beach with my brother-in-law, Bill.
Right.
And right in front of us is this kid. I want us to make this kid to be 3 years old.
All right. Okay.
Walking, talking, not a toddler,
mm-hmm.
by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay.
Kid's talking to his daddy, playing, and throwing a ball back and forth. All of a sudden, the kid drops his pants.
Yeah.
And takes a dump.
Oh.
I mean, right on the beach. The kid just goes like this. He pulls his pants down and goes, and squeezes out a turd.
Wow.
And the dad,
not fazed,
sitting there having a cigarette.
I would think so.
I said, look at that.
Even for a kid. I mean, it's illegal for the father to let the kid do that.
I said, the kid is taking a crap.
Right.
So we watch.
Not that I don't do in my own front yard.
We were amused by this. Right?
Sure.
We weren't that close, so we were grossed out by it.
Right.
But we said, no, look at the father. Look at the father. He's doing nothing. He's just sitting there reading his newspaper and smoking.
You didn't even have the decency to cover it with sand.
No.
That might not be the decent thing. I mean,
no.
If you covered it with a light layer of sand, you might be, causing a landmine for somebody to come along a couple hours later.
So the kid gets done taking his number two.
Right.
He pulls his pants back up. He runs over by the dad, and the dad goes like this. And we forget what the dad said. Go in the ocean.
Go in the ocean to wash off.
Go in the ocean.
Wipe yourself with the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's exactly what he said.
Only in Ocean City.
Oh,
huh?
My God.
Only in Ocean City, Maryland.
Boy, was that before or after lunch?
Might be right after lunch.
Oh, thank God.
Right after lunch.
Ew.
He just pulled out his bed and let a little crapper go.
I think the law requires you to clean up after your kid.
I think so, yeah.
With Maggie.
Sure. Hold on. We have to do a break, and then we will be right back.
He's the Don and Mike.
We've got to figure out these situations, Jerry Springer scenarios.
All right, well, listen, if you want something on this show, you should just ask for it yourself.
Well, I did. I called you guys up and I said if you want to.
I just think it's just my opinion. And I don't push the buttons on this show, but it's just my opinion that if you were to ask, hey guys, could you play the fart sound effects, you might get a better result.
Right. Well, if I do that, you gotta just, click.
No! Why don't you try it, Mr. Big Man?
Give it a shot.
Well, I asked when I first called. I said he's here for the day.
You asked
wanted to hear
you,
something
no, no, no.
The fart?
No, but if you asked, you might
Listen,
get a different
put your son back on.
All right, one sec.
Hello?
Hey, listen, son.
Yeah.
That guy is such a loser.
Yeah, tell your mom to dump him.
Okay.
Your stepdad is a total loser.
Yeah, tell your mom to dump him.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Don't grow up to be like him. Okay, bye-bye now, son.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So long.
See you later.
Another friend made.
Yeah. But he was calling him my stepdad.
Yeah, it was confusing, man.
But he was saying that the mother, they weren't married, so he's not really the dad.
I don't know. Yeah, right. If they're not married, he couldn't really be the dad.
Time for spring.
Hello.
Yeah, I wanted to see how Bart looks here.
Oh, my son loves it.
Yeah. Where is he right now?
I don't know. I think he's,
Yeah, it weirds me out when somebody goes, what, you planning on, booking a flight on the Concorde to go to his campsite or something?
No, I was over in Europe, over in England for about a week or so in,
God, that's innocent. I didn't think he's in Rome right now, I think.
Yeah, probably touring all the bars.
Yeah, right, touring the bars, getting laid, riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, doing everything. You're having 14-year-old guys.
Come on.
I'll tell you, we had a funny scene at the airport, though, when we had to take him,
right,
to drop him off for this 3-week tour of Europe. He's going to the school group. When we were all down about it. I mean, Fred and I were very down about it. And he, of course, is happy. He can't wait to get away.
Right.
We got to the airport. His plane left at 9:30,
mm-hmm.
and we had to be at the airport at 6:30. So we got him there at 6:30. We checked him in, checked his bags in. It was 7 o'clock, 2.5 hours till the plane leaves. And he comes and he says, Mom, Dad,
Would you leave now, please?
Oh, well, that's the age.
Ouch. Did that hurt even more?
Yeah. So we said, well,
didn't want to spend the last 2.5 hours with his parents.
We said, come on, all the other moms and dads are here. And he said, well, all the other moms and dads are going to be leaving, too. All the kids are asking all the moms and dads to leave now.
Okay.
I said, all right, that's it, we'll go. I said, listen.
Did he really leave, or, like, did you go behind a pedestal to see if all the other parents were leaving?
No, we left, and we said to him, now, call us. You're going to be gone for 3 weeks.
Right.
Call us at least once a week. And he was like, I don't know. I might not be able to get to a phone. I don't know. I'll try. You know how many times a kid has called us since he's been in Europe? I'm not exaggerating. More times than my mother-in-law called the house. It's like the kid calls constantly.
So he's real homesick.
No, he's not homesick.
Right.
He just likes talking.
He does.
I don't think he's homesick at all.
Right.
It's like, well, I gave him a calling card so he can call from anywhere in the world.
Right.
So now I get him, hey, Dad, I'm in Rome. I said, well, that's great. Okay, I got to go. See you later.
I think it's a good sign that he's calling you as opposed to not calling you.
Oh, no. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, if there were no phone calls, then it might be, you know, cause for concern.
And we did get one call that just a little bit set us off. Because he called from, I think he was in Switzerland.
Telephone buddy coming.
He calls and he says, hey, Dad, it's Bart. Like, I don't know that it's him. I said, hey, how you doing, bud? He said, Dad, can I shave my head? I said, no. Absolutely not. He said, all the other guys are shaving their heads. And I said, no, absolutely not. You cannot shave your head. He goes, all right, click.
Oh, just hung up on you all the way in Europe.
Wow. So I'm sitting there just doing. About 5 minutes later, phone rings again. Sammy goes, Dad, my friends are out of the room now. I'm sorry about that. Can I please get my head shaved? No, absolutely not. You cannot shave your head. You know, and then he hung up the phone, and I said to Frida, you know, everything else aside, he's a good boy. Because if it was me in that situation, I know what I would have done. I would just shave my goddamn head and told my mom and dad to deal with it when I got home.
Yeah, he's a good boy. That's good. And it sounds like he's having a good time over there.
Yeah, he'll be back next Wednesday.
Good.
Next Wednesday, he'll be back. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi,
love you guys.
Hi, love.
Glad you're on in Detroit.
Love you.
Yeah?
Are you calling from Detroit?
Yes, I lived in Northern Virginia for 3 years.
Oh, listen, you know what? I'll tell you, if you're listening to us in Detroit, it's very important that you call the pinheads at this radio station to tell them that you enjoy our show, because we are by no means on stable ground at this station.
No, this is kind of like, you know, we're trotting out the old show to see how it plays in Detroit.
Because what happened is they fired this guy, this worthless guy that had been on.
He was.
And
pathetic.
We got a call from one of the guys that owns this company, and he said, hey, can you do me a favor? You know, Mel, can you do me a favor by letting your show go on this station? I don't know how long they're going to run it. So we said, sure. Run the show now, help the company out, put us on in Detroit. But we don't have a contract there or anything, so it's important that you call them and tell them that you like the show.
Definitely.
Please.
You're making my rush hour wonderful.
Ah, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you.
That's our, you know, that's some good feedback we're getting from Detroit already. I like that a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, have a good day.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, we have a zero contract with that station.
Mm-hmm. We're very happy to be on there, and we hope everything's works out well.
Just a handshake deal we have with them.
You know what that is in our business.
Right. It's like getting it up the butt.
Please.
Hello, Donna Meisha. Like one of those gay things that you got up in the office today.
Yeah. All right,
thank you for whoever sent that to me. That's enough. Hello.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
Hello, Sam.
Welcome back, Don and Mike.
Sam, how are you?
Good. How about you guys?
Just fine, Sam.
You know, I took a trip back at the Morgantown, West Virginia.
Yeah, did you really?
Yeah, and I went out sitting there in the Morgantown International Airport, and a la Mike O'Mara, I was playing the Major Woody game.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Really? You did? Did you play it the same way we usually do, by getting on the telephone and paging Major Woody?
I recognized me.
What did he say?
He got on there and he said, I'm looking for Major Woody. He's looking for Sam Huff, the greatest linebacker in the NFL. And you know what? Major Woody showed up at the gate.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
And what'd they tell him when he showed up at the gate?
He came up on the short end of the ship.
Guy gets better and better, doesn't he? Oh! Oh, my God.
Hello, Donald Mike Show.
Hey, is this Donald Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you what my electric company is doing to me.
What?
They, to turn my air conditioner off every 15 minutes.
Really? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland, and they turn it back on every 15 minutes. This is supposed to save energy.
What's your first name?
It's Mike.
Mike, it's only your place.
No, it's not my place.
No, I mean,
it's my whole neighborhood. I'm watching all my neighbors run outside with their electric meters, measuring their stuff. They think they're blowing fuses.
No, I've never heard anything like this. That they would just...
That's to save energy. They shut the air conditioner off for 15 minutes.
One area I heard about today was Cape Cod, where they're going to do a rolling blackout for 2 hours at a time.
They better not do that around here.
That's obviously what's happening in Baltimore. They're doing rolling brownouts here, where they're just turning the voltage down by about 5 volts.
Oh, that sucks. Give us our juice.
It's ridiculous.
Juice.
That's why he's doing
it. Don't do this, juice. Juice.
Where's my plane?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Buddy.
Hello.
Buddy.
Hey, Baldy.
What's going on?
Baldy.
Did you happen to catch Rosie Donnell yesterday?
Rosie Donnell? No, I didn't catch Rosie Donnell. What did old RD have to say?
She's talking to Sarah Jessica Parker, who was on vacation. She's telling some story about going without power for a couple of days and not being able to bathe. Rosie says, well, that's not big, that big of a deal because I don't bathe that much in the summertime anyway.
Did she say that?
Oh, my God.
Did she say it seriously?
She said it very
seriously. Wouldn't you love to have a panty concession in the neighborhood? Oh, my God. Well, I don't bathe much in the summer anyway.
Summertime, you know, you don't need to bathe. Your sweat washes you.
Oh, my God.
You're waiting for the laughter afterwards. It never came.
Oh, that show.
Oh, it's
just terrifying. It's like one of those shows where it's kind of a captive audience where they're terrified of her. Right. You know?
Don't want to make her angry.
It's like the Regis audience. It's a bunch of blue-haired ladies that, like, take a bus from Atlantic City for the day in New York.
Sure.
And they sit in there like a bunch of trained seals. When the lights come on, it says applause. Like, yay!
Not exactly like the Daily Show with Jon Stewart, where somebody says something like, ah!
I think they have 15 people in the audience for the Daily Show.
No, there's nobody there.
Hello?
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike. How are you?
Hey, buddy.
Just wanted that brain surgeon up in Baltimore complaining about his air conditioning. He gets paid like $12 a month. Let the...
Man, the brain surgeon had a better phone than you do.
Oh, okay, all right. Hello, Don. It's my show.
Hey, this is DJ in Vegas.
Yes, hello, DJ.
Hey. You hear what happened to Larry King? He almost came close to death again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that airplane he was on yesterday, they lost an engine.
Yeah. So at least tablets weren't helping them, were they?
They blew an engine, right?
Right.
Where was the plane? Where did the plane take off out of?
He went to Salt Lake City, and they had to land... Sorry, Buzz, I just know the story. It was around Omaha, Nebraska, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, where the plane had to land.
You know, I would love, of course, to speak with anyone that happened to be on the plane that, you know, would see whether Larry panicked in any way.
I want to tell you something. Nothing gets me more upset than the engine on the plane breaking, than the cold silverware that we have in first class.
This silverware is, I don't care. I don't. Listen to me. You know who I am? I'm Lee King.
Hi, folks. This is Lee King. We're all going to die.
I'm Lee King. We have a blown engine, and I've got cold, icy, chilly silverware. It drives me absolutely nuts. You tell me we're going to... You tell me we're going to land in Nebraska? What do you mean, Nebraska? Where's Nebraska? I want to land back in New York, D.C., where I have one of my very nice homes.
Hi, folks. This is Lee King.
Hi, I'm Lee King. Folks, this is Lee King. The plane's engine is blown up. We're going down.
I watched him last night, as a matter of fact, to see if he would mention anything about it on the show, on the Frog Show. He didn't say a word. You know who the guest was, though? I watched the most of the hour.
Who?
Big old fruity Merv Griffin.
Hey, Merv.
Ooh, Merv. And never once did he ask Merv if he's a fag.
Oh, really?
Wouldn't that be like the number one question you'd want to ask Merv Griffin?
Yeah, because there were all sorts of tabloid stories on Merv Griffin and whether he was gay or not. Remember the story with Denny Terrio?
That's right, that he used to chase Denny Terrio around the pool and, like, want to rip his bathing suit off and stuff.
And I saw Merv that one time in the shopping center, and Merv had a, you know... Well, like he'd been playing too much tennis.
Yeah, you know, the Rosie Donnell plan.
Rosie Donnell.
It's his birthday.
Who's birth? Merv Griffin today.
Is it really?
Yeah. Merv.
He was talking about he owns some famous hotel in Beverly Hills, the Beverly Hilton.
Yes.
Okay, or the Beverly Hills Hotel.
I think it's the Beverly Hills Hotel.
He owns one of those hotels. He was talking about how pissed off he is that people are ripping the average consumer off for a millennium.
For New Year's Eve.
Right. So he announced that because he cares about people, he's charging only $1,000 a person.
person to stay in his hotel on New Year's Eve.
Ooh, Merv, we desperately need Merv back on television.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, if they take you off out here in Detroit, we have a tradition out here of overturning cars and burning down our own neighborhood.
Yes, that's right. Hell night.
Open house to set up some ratings.
Merv Griffin, he is so soft and doughy and pliable. I mean,
he looks that way on the outside, but if you were able to walk up and touch him, he's just solid as a rock.
He's not hard as a rock.
Well, I mean, he might be hard as a rock. A piece of granite.
He might be hard as a rock,
Merv.
You know what movie I watched?
What?
Speaking of hard as a rock and gays for a couple minutes over the weekend. You ever see that movie, Making Love? It came out like in the early 80s, and it had...
Oh, God, it's...
Oh, I love that movie!
Because Harry Hamlin...
It's a great movie!
Harry Hamlin plays this gay, and...
I love Harry Hamlin!
Shut up. And Kate Jackson, and another guy from The Rookies, I think. Remember that TV show, The Rookies?
Just one of your non-beach days when you watched this?
Oh, it was a rainy day.
My God.
It was a rainy day.
Making Love. Harry Hamlin in Making Love. Yeah, that is gay.
The whole point... Well, Harry Hamlin is gay in the movie. And this guy that was on The Rookies,
yeah,
who was married to Kate Jackson, he can't decide if he's gay or not.
And is she trying to convince him that he's not?
No, see, she doesn't know that he's gay.
Oh, my God.
And I just about threw up in the scenes with Harry Hamlin and this guy. They start touching each other, they got their shirts off, and they start touching each other on the shoulders, and then they really start kissing.
Really?
I mean, really.
You didn't leave? You didn't turn it off? You stayed with it?
No, I didn't.
The 5% was in full bloom when you were watching that.
I'm curious.
Very curious.
And incidentally, he showed us Harry Hamlin.
Oh.
And boy, is it hairy. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, it's Michael Huntkeen, the gentleman that was in Making Love. You can type it on their board. You can tell them it's Michael Huntkeen.
That wasn't Rob yelling whore in the background, was it? That was over the phone, I believe.
Oh,
Michael Huntkeen.
Huntkeen.
Right, that's the guy that was fag with Harry Hamlin?
Indeed, he was.
All right, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, a guy that shares the joys of watching the film Making Love.
I love Don and Mike Show.
Hello, good afternoon.
It's kind of like looking at a car wreck. I got to be honest. I couldn't turn away from it. Like, I would switch to another channel, and then I would find myself...
You're naturally curious.
I'm still coming back to that channel again.
You're naturally curious. It's your natural curiosity.
Right. Not once did Kate Jackson get naked during this movie. However, these two boys... They were nearly naked during the whole movie.
They didn't kiss or anything.
Yeah.
Really, they made out?
Yes. Mm. I mean, like, you know, like,
really?
Yeah.
That must have been very groundbreaking at the time, because back in those days, they didn't show a lot of that on TV.
No,
it's gross, man.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
It was gross the first time you saw it. Even more gross the second time you went back to see it.
You know, I'll tell you something funny. I'm watching this, and I'm grossed out by it, but I'm still watching it. And Frida came up to me and said, don't you remember we went to the premiere of that movie when we lived in Los Angeles?
Oh, really?
I didn't even remember I hadn't seen it a long time ago. It was the second time around for me with the movie Making Love.
There you go.
Making Love.
Making Love.
Making Love.
Making Love with women or with men.
Oh, and boy, did I make love with my wife on that occasion.
Did you?
Oh, that's one great thing about my son being gone, huh?
Anytime, anywhere.
Anytime. She had no excuses, right? No excuses at all. First thing in the morning, boom. At night, boom. Afternoon, boom. Oh, it was fantastic.
Really was. Well, that stabilizes the whole thing for me.
Good.
Nice to hear you say that after talking about going back and forth watching Harry Hamlin squeeze another man's arm.
Yeah, no, listen, I'm pretty much hetero.
We're all pretty much hetero.
Pretty much hetero. I like banging my wife plenty. It's fantastic. I wouldn't have banged a guy.
I know you do. And you don't need to protest so much.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, we moved here to Virginia 9 months ago.
I just watched it in a very small part.
It's okay.
I would watch it.
It's all right.
Turn away.
It's all right.
Turn it back on again.
It's okay.
Oh,
it's okay.
I just had to see how it would end.
First.
He was gay. He decided he was gay.
The guy, Harry Hamlin, was already gay.
Harry Hamlin was very gay.
The other guy decided that he was gay.
And then he went to Harry Hamlin and he said, hey, guess what? Kate Jackson, that great piece of ass, I told her I'm gay.
Right.
Now I'm here for you, butt cheeks spread. And Harry Hamlin said, that's not what I want.
Oh, really?
Right.
So it's kind of a sad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be sad if the gays got together. I mean, it would be happy if the gays got together.
But then the guy, like, this is before the advent of AIDS and the hippie.
Right.
Because this guy
after Harry Hamlin dumped him, the movie just ended with him going from gay bar to gay bar to gay bar. He's just picking up guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, but it was a happy ending.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Well, except for Kate Jackson.
Right.
What did she do after? Oh, she'd be a spokesmodel for Lincoln Mercury.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, as I said, we moved to Virginia 9 months ago from Sacramento.
Yes, ma'am.
And we just went to Sacramento, and I have to tell you, Michael, our entire vacation was planned around food.
Oh, really? Did you hear that, Michael?
Why do you, I'm delighted. I'm delighted, but if you haven't been listening for a very long time, you know that I hate it when people call me Michael.
I'm sorry.
But I'm delighted that you planned your entire vacation around food.
Mexican food.
Ah.
Chinese food, anything that we cannot find to our standards out here. We were there. In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, great.
Jack in the Box.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. You go to Carl's Jr.?
Carl's Jr.
That's the best.
Stars.
Did you find yourself at the end of one meal, perhaps, or any time during a previous meal discussing the next meal?
As a matter of fact, we were on our way home to my mother's house to have dinner, mm-hmm. and we stopped at In-N-Out Burger on the way.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Our children are still in California, so I have to say, Dawn, all over the house, constantly, because there's no children at home.
Oh, they're doing it. They're doing it. So she's having sex.
Oh, I see.
It's total debauchery.
Beautiful. Gotcha.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye, honey.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. Right, thanks for calling me, Michael.
Goodbye.
Hello.
Bye.
On the mic show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, great. How you doing, Donna Mike?
Hi. We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. We love you, Potomac.
Love you.
Thank you, darling.
Love you.
Listen, hey, I was in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you guys happen to catch that disgusting footage of that guy's bone popping out of his ankle
baseball? That is about the grossest thing since Joe Theismann got his leg broken playing football. Did this guy play for the Pirates?
No. Yeah. You know where I go, I don't have any source of anything like that. I mean, really, I'm totally incommunicado. And what did I miss?
It was this guy sliding and, like I don't know, his ankle. Did the bone pop out of the ankle?
Yeah, it did. It was so gross. And I didn't think they'd show anything that graphic, and I'm sitting there watching it. I was completely grossed out.
You know, that's where ESPN pisses me off, that they tease the whole hour with it. They say, an awful accident. You won't want to see this coming up.
Yeah, sure.
Jason Kendall of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then all the way to the very last break.
Oh, God.
When they say, okay, we're going to show it now.
And then they show it real quick.
Yeah. But we want to tell you, it's kind of graphic, so watch it. And they show it once. They go, oh, can't stand to see that again.
They can't have to slow it down, show it again and again.
Right.
And that's the way to do television.
No, that was a gross gross accident.
On the scale of the Theismann leg break and that, which was grosser?
This was really,
it was pretty bad.
Well, I wish that happened to Sammy Sosa. I could win that bet.
I know. He's, seven home runs ahead right now?
Six.
32-26. Long season.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hi, fellas. This is Hairless Frank Strip from Sacramento. I love your show.
Oh, I love you. Okay.
Thank you. There.
Donna Mike Show.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Turn your radio down, please.
It's down. I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
You guys were just talking about some food.
Yeah.
One of my favorite days, me and all my buddies used to get together and watch football games, ordered a pizza at halftime, went to Farrell's afterwards for ice cream, and then ended up at Ding Hao for Chinese after that.
Do you think now that the show is going to take an ugly turn where everyone's going to call us and talk about what food they had watching a football game?
Pretty outrageous.
I'm clapping his hand.
Pretty outrageous call, though. My friends and I, when we watch football, we order pizza,
and then we'd go out to have a meal, and then later on that night went to a Chinese restaurant. Shocking!
Steve living on the edge. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Bobby.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Dustin.
Pardon me?
Dustin.
Dustin what?
Hoffman?
Dustin. Hoffman.
I already said Hoffman.
What, are you trying to play the Dustin game?
I think he was. And now he's gone.
I think I was an idiot. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
That's the only thing I watched all last week was the AFI tribute to Dustin Hoffman, which was so botched and so chopped up. Like, his acceptance speech at the end was, Dustin Hoffman, when he gives an acceptance speech, is usually very long-winded. And obviously they were pressed for time, and he got up there and he said, I just want to say I'm real happy about it. The AFI tribute to Dustin Hoffman has been brought to you by... And it was totally botched. I don't know what happened. It was really messed up.
Stay tuned for Making Love with Harry Hamlin. Hello. Last call. Donna Mike Show. Hello.
I like the mysticism.
All right, goodbye. We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's been dynamite. Last night it opened up again, and it's still crazy. It may rain again tonight. It is very wet out there, I want to tell you. Thank you, class. Very good. It's so wet out there today, I saw a robin at a laundromat waiting for his worm to come out of the spin dry cycle. All right, what do you got?
Well, where the hell have you been for the last 6.5 minutes? Here's Don and Mike.
I can do it, Walker. In a wild, wild west.
I love this song. No, you don't
want that. Because the movie's good and all.
Yeah.
But isn't it? You got to not believe in it. You got to not think about the time that it's supposed to be happening yet.
Turn your brain off and go in and enjoy the movie.
Right. Well, I mean, most black people in 1869 were just a couple of years removed from being slaves, right?
I don't know. I don't know what the history is. I know there were exceptions to the rule all over the United States. There were individual exceptions to that rule all over the United States.
I doubt if there was a black guy in 1869, though, that was working as a member, like, of the FBI that would walk into the White House and do a special job for the president, which
when
Will
you
Smith
say
does
that,
in this movie.
When you say that, I'd like to, I wouldn't mind hearing, you know, if there were exceptions to that rule. I'm not sure. I don't know my history that well enough to know whether that was.
Well, neither do I. I'm an idiot.
But who knows? Because I know that there were certain places in the West, during those years where there could have been an exception to the rule, even during slavery,
but
there
even
an exception to the rule.
But even if that was the case, the White House, even back then, was still in D.C.
Yes.
And that's where Will Smith goes, where he first meets Kevin Kline, where they hook up together, where the president says that he wants him to go get this guy.
The only way to answer that question would be to find out if there were any black agents for the FBI. Wait, is he in the FBI? Is that what he's in? One's a U.S. Marshal and the other is an officer with the U.S. Army.
Yeah, Kevin Kline is the guy that's with the whatever
the marshal's office. The federal marshal's office.
Right.
But I guess what we're saying is if you're thinking in those terms to go in, you're not going to enjoy it.
It'll never work anyway.
So forget it.
And Selma Hayek's got the tickle bitties. Although her part in the movie is
small,
totally worthless.
Really?
I mean, she's not needed in the movie at all. She's just wallpaper.
She wearing one of those, like, barroom girl outfits?
Yeah, too? She wears a lot of those, like, Miss Kitty outfits.
There you go.
From Gunsmoke. And there's one scene where she's walking in this train with Will Smith and Kevin Kline, and when she turns around, she has on, like, a nice shirt. And it's one of those nightshirts that has the Dennis the Menace flap in the back.
Oh, yeah.
So you see her ass.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby.
All right.
All right, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, a question about the movie.
What movie? Oh, Wild Wild West.
Yeah, and I was curious. Did they treat him like an everyday guy? Because you figure there had to be some hillbillies back then there.
No,
had, like, racial tension.
You know, there are scenes when, and they never drop the N-bomb. And like every time someone's about ready to say the N-word, you go, "Why, you stupid," and then Will Smith would punch him in the face.
Okay, all right.
And a couple of times,
so they address the race issue in the movie.
And a couple of times, like Will Smith, when he's hiding and he's looking for Dr. Lovelace in front of this big southern mansion.
Right.
A guy comes up and says, "Hey, boy, what are you doing here?" And he says, then he, like, puts on the black, and he goes, "Well, excuse me, officer, I was just looking if I could..." Boom!
So they deal with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, a little bit they do.
All right.
A little bit.
Okay, that's all I was curious.
How's Kevin Kline in the movie?
An everyday guy, I'd have a tight be wondering what was going on.
Kevin Kline is, he's all right.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, like, it's unbelievable, like, on the TV show where the other guy was supposed to be, like, a master of disguise.
Artemis Gordon.
Right.
Right.
But when Kevin Kline dresses up like a woman... You know, he's not Tootsie. He's not Dustin Hoffman. I mean, when he dresses up like a woman, you pretty much know that it's Kevin Kline.
So you like your unbelievable action-adventure films with more believability.
It's not that I had a problem with it.
Right.
Well, I guess maybe I did. No, I don't know. You know, I like stupid movies.
Right, right.
So, no, I guess I loved it.
So what would you give it? Would you give it a recommendation or what?
Yeah, that's okay. I like Will Smith. That's the thing. I like just about anything Will Smith does.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, Will Smith playing a member of the Secret Service.
They were eventually made members of the Secret Service. In fact, he and Kevin Kline are the first two members of the Secret Service
That's
at the
right.
end of the movie.
But if it's based on the story and the TV story, the original character was a member of the Secret Service.
I don't think it's based. I think it's only based on the TV show as far as the guy's name.
Because the TV show is so damn believable.
Right.
Hello, Todd. Down in my show.
Hey, what would you recommend to go see Austin Powers or the new Wild West movie?
Probably Austin Powers.
Yeah. Austin Powers.
Probably.
Okay, well, I'll let her know then.
I went to Austin Powers and thoroughly enjoyed the second. I enjoyed it more because I could laugh out loud at Fat Bastard and not feel self-conscious about the big fat guy that was sitting in front of us in the screening.
And get in my belly. Come on now. Where is the baby?
Ah,
sexy.
Really, play with little boob.
Sexy.
You know what will turn you off about that, though?
What?
Is if you saw, I don't know where it was, maybe on the Today Show, they're interviewing Mike Myers.
Right.
And it's a total ass-kiss interview, right? Because everybody loves Austin Powers and right. how fantastic he is, what a genius he is. And then Matt Lauer says to him, and the character, Fat,
because you couldn't say the word bastard on the right. Today Show.
He says, where did that come from? And rather than just say, hey, he's like a stereotype of a Scottish guy.
Right.
It's like English humor. Mike Myers goes into this diatribe about how painstaking it was for him. It took him 7 hours to get into this costume every day.
Right.
And what a slave to his craft that he is, that he wanted to have it right. And that he was so into it that he had them put...
a catheter.
Right. They put like one of those tubes on your... penis, mm-hmm. so that when you have to pee, it's like, why would you want one of those things? Why wouldn't you just...
Go in the suit.
Yeah, why wouldn't you
just go in the suit.
Oh, why wouldn't you just say, take the suit off? You know, I don't get it. I guess my point is it was Mike Myers making... Too much.
I hate that, too. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when they make it seem, you know, hey, it's a movie, okay? And, you know, you're doing something that everyone else would like to do, and when you make it, out to be too much.
And he's talking about how grueling it was, it took me 7 hours to get into costume.
Right.
I had to pee into a joint. Oh, just shut up.
Just shut up. Just shut up and get in my belly.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, buddies.
Hey, buddy.
Just wanted to tell you, in the 1860s, for what it's worth, they didn't have, like, a government secret service, but the president, for like his bodyguards and all, and for that type of stuff, they hired the Pinkertons, and they had like a couple of famous black agents.
There you go.
All right, so it is historically accurate.
All right, so it is
the most famous black one was Detective Urkel.
Oh, boom!
Oh, show. Hello.
He had us, though.
Yeah.
He had us.
No,
done.
He had you. And then he had me. I was right behind you.
He had me at hello.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
Oh,
I'm just saying that the biggest change I found from the TV show was, in the TV show, Bob Conrad used to get knocked out with a rifle butt to the head or some kind of gas in the face or choked or something like that. Usually two or three times each show. You think that James West would have been brain damaged by his third mission.
Needs to do a little mosaic right on the TV where they fill in the pieces of the jigsaw.
That is how
he'd have a spider on his face or something like that.
That's how the movie starts.
Oh, really?
The movie starts just like the credits did from the old TV show.
That's cool. I like that. That's a good part of the old TV show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that thing about the catheterization and what a wiener that Mike Myers was?
Yes.
Those are 2 weeks behind. I think Howard Stern did that for the past 2 weeks, but keep going.
I'm talking about something I saw on the goddamn Today Show.
Right.
Please, and keep calling up and being a big man and then running away.
The image is scaredy man right there.
It's always nice to get a nice welcome back.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, you know, it's not historically accurate, but they didn't have big walking mechanical spiders in the 1860s.
Yeah, of course they didn't.
Right.
They did.
No, yes, they did.
No, they didn't, Bob.
No, they didn't.
Get Tom Green on the show already.
Tom Green, though, we get a lot of calls about getting that guy on the show.
Yeah, right. I'll just look at my big book and call them up.
Hello, Mr. Green.
Mrs. Green. Hello, Don. I show you wearing green so you can
hide.
Yeah,
how's it going?
Hello.
You're a tramp.
You seen that thing Letterman's been doing with Larry King at night?
No, what?
Well, instead of looking like a frog, he says, this spot is brought to you by Larry King, and he says, he looks like an owl. And then they put them side by side, and then you see the owl eating like two mice, and
is there any chance that the bit that Letterman's doing is maybe a little funnier than your description of it?
Oh, it's a lot funnier.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. And I think we're going to try to call Larry King's in-laws in our next break.
Very good.
To make sure that he's okay after his big ordeal on the airplane.
Everything's doing fine.
Oh, I had a couple other things I want to tell you about vacation. Real quickly, just two more things.
Okay, let me turn that off. It was a little annoying.
Just a little bit.
Sorry about that.
You know, you're on vacation when you sit around. It was me and my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my other brother-in-law, my other sister-in-law. We started discussing swamping. Because, well, the topic of Buzz came up.
Really?
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, somebody said to me, hey, that guy that's on your show, does he really swamp?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, he says only once.
Right.
But, yes, he did. And then somebody, I don't know who it is, says to me, did you ever hear of the Key Game?
And I said, I have no idea.
The Key Game
was there a movie? Based on that, called The Ice Storm, where Sigourney Weaver's in that, mm-hmm. and they all put their keys in a bowl.
Somebody brought that movie up where, like, a bunch of people, men and women, go to a party,
mm-hmm.
and they get a big fish bowl, and they all put the keys in,
right.
And then when you pick a key out, that's the person that you bang.
Mm-hmm. That, to me, I mean, there's one thing about, a strange and getting excited and stuff like that, but, man, I mean, that's just way too much of a crapshoot.
Yeah. So when we were discussing that, and we were all having a good laugh. You know, no one was laughing directly about the other people. But
were they nervous chuckles? Of,
yes.
Boy, we really wanted to have them. Sure.
We were looking around the room and saying, wouldn't that be something to play with all of these people?
Right.
With Frida's sister and with her brother. And then it was at that point that everybody was looking at everybody else, and there was that nervous, like,
moment of maybe we should really try it.
No. It was more like fear, like looking around saying, what would be the best possible scenario,
right,
in this group? Who would be the one person, you know, that maybe it would be okay?
Did you have a one person in mind that if that game happened to be played,
no.
And I don't want me to put you on the spot here.
No, but I'll tell you something that will make you feel oogie.
Yeah.
Later, when we got home, Frida and I were discussing it, and she said, what if you played the Key Game at work?
Right.
And I said, well, I guess Mike's wife would probably be the winner for me.
Thank you. You know, I say thank you, but then no, thank you.
Yeah, I know. I
no,
know you
stop it.
About
it. Stop it. Oh, that's right. See, we're talking about couples, talking about spouses.
Right.
Said, the Key Game at work, I was thinking of people that we work with, but now we think of spouses.
It would be like
spouses.
All of us that are married. If we all threw our car keys in, mm-hmm. and then you had to, you know, bang whoever's car keys you
bought. Yeah, I can tell. You know, you have conveyed to me the discomfort of that conversation.
Right.
In one fell swoop. So how did it end? I mean, how did he get out of it?
Okay.
Everybody just goes, okay.
It ended then. We segued from that
right
into talking about porno.
Yeah. Right?
Where Frida said something like,
now you're on a subject.
Frida said, well, you know, my husband, he watches porno all the time. He writes porno. We pull up a thing on DSS where you can see the number of porno movies he's watched. Then somebody else said, did you ever play the game to find out what your name would be if you were a porno star? I said, no. And they said, your first name is your first dog's first name, and your last name would be the first street that you ever lived on. So that's how you come up with what your name would be in a porno movie.
That is so... Wait. All right. Your first name would be the name of the dog, the first dog you ever owned.
Right. And your last name would be the first street you ever lived on. So in my case, it would be Shushu Norbert. Since our first dog was Shushu the poodle,
right.
And the first street we lived on was Norbert Road. What would yours be?
Mine would be Louis Evergreen.
See? What about you, Buzz?
Listen to this. George Glenn.
Oh, see, you are so white bread, Buzz. You really are.
Robbie?
Pepper Park. These are good porno names, aren't they?
Gadget. We got a good gadget. I want to get Gadget. Yeah. Did he ever own a dog?
I don't tell you. I bet he's run over some dogs.
Oh, my God.
I bet he's tortured some dogs. Where is her? Where's Charlie Broyle?
Oh, Gadget's corny. That is so funny.
So that's how the conversation went. It went from swapping in the Key Game, right. Shushu Norbeck, into pornos, into what your name would be if you were in a porno movie.
Actually, to be accurate, mine might be Caddy Evergreen. Caddy Evergreen. But I like Louis Evergreen a little bit better. I really do. Louis Evergreen.
Hello. Well, we don't know where
he is. Okay, well, all right. Yeah, some things never change.
All right, let's clarify these lines. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
I want to speak to Don and Mike.
Yeah, hello, Don.
Hey, what's up, man? I wanted to tell you that I was in the Sacramento Las Vegas style show.
Yes, sir.
They've got pictures of the cigar ladies on the internet this week.
That is about as old a story as we have heard.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
John Mike?
Yeah.
Hi, I just want to know why you got to have repeats on when you guys go on vacation. It's
what
so
would,
boring.
What would you rather we do?
But anything. Even play music.
No, F you. You, but you can't say it.
Oh, but you, I misunderstood.
Maybe right. You want to come in and do the show, and when we're gone, it'll be a week of the Buddy Hackett show.
Oh, why not? Don't you like Buddy Hackett?
He's a major talent.
He's a major... No, really, it is boring to listen to a repeat radio show.
Hello, listen, does anybody force you to listen to it?
Nah, shut it off.
All right, good, then what do you call it complaining to me for?
Of course, it's your show. You like, you know.
Would you listen to it if it was music?
Yeah.
No, you're stupid.
No,
you're stupid. There's like a million oldie stations. You don't like anything we're doing at any time.
Listen to your show even a second time.
Yes, of course I would. I love you.
Listen to anything, I guess.
What a little germ weasel you are.
I'm a pretty big weasel.
How big are you, sir?
Well, not as big as Mike, but...
Well, how big are you? And I'll tell you whether you're as big as me.
Well, what's the difference?
No, why don't you tell me?
I'm 5'8".
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Come on, I'm waiting for the big number.
199.
Well, I'm 5'10 and a half, and I weigh 3,000 pounds after last week.
Now, listen, really, F you and your family.
You too.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you.
There he goes.
Bye-bye.
That's the little weasel calling in.
Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike show, please.
Hi, Mayday. Mayday, please tell baby Moses that he is the chosen one.
All right, do a little Larry King right there. You know, what would you have us do when we're on vacation, please?
Oh, don't even address that, man.
I can't help it, Mike. What are we supposed to do? Have Steve Doocy come in for 10 days and do this show?
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hello, I got a celebrity sighting. The Crazy Horse strip club, I saw Mini-Me over the weekend.
Where are you calling from, Vegas?
Calling from Las Vegas, yeah.
You saw the actor? You saw the actor who's Mini-Me?
Yeah, the actual actor. I don't know his real name.
Was he having a good time?
Tommy?
Was he having a good time?
Oh, he's having a great time. He's surrounded by women. They wouldn't let us take any photographs. I wanted to send one to you. And he was just, he was heads up in it, if you know what I mean.
I bet he gets laid a lot now that he's in the Austin Powers.
He is not an unattractive little person. He really is not. He has a lot of makeup, and he looked better when he was out of makeup when I saw him on Regis and Kathy Lee. He didn't look as kind of weird as he did when he was in Austin Powers. And I didn't know. I didn't think he had any makeup on in Austin Powers.
Oh, boy, come on, he's got that big Dr. Evil scar going down the side of his face.
Besides that, and then I realized that he had the nose was totally like it is with Mike Myers. He's got a much different nose.
Hello?
Don and Mike?
Yes, sir.
Gorgeous.
Hello?
I got a... Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's somebody who just, totally lost it.
I respect that, though. Somebody calls, and they realize they don't have it, they just bail out.
Yeah, they maybe get through. It's one of those rare occurrences where they zip right through, and then it's like...
Yeah! Hello, Don and Mike. Last call, really.
Hey, I just want to say, the guy that just called... It was a girl that played Mini-Me.
No, it wasn't.
No, honey, it sure was not a girl.
Where did you hear that?
I saw it on TV.
No, you couldn't have seen that on TV. It's a lie.
Well, you must have been drunk. It's a man, baby.
It's a man who was interviewed.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I guess they were lying to me then.
Well, congratulations on creating your own urban legend.
The TV was lying to you again.
Oh, well, maybe I was drunk.
All right.
Vacation, thanks.
Well, okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's clear those lines out.
She was quick, though, with the excuse, because it's always worked for me.
Let's take a caller 100 right now. Phone number 1-800-636-1067.
This is the Dawn and Harry Moore.
Hey, Greer, will you sign a book for Gordon?
Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book for G. Gordon Liddy.
Outstanding.
Okay, but
what will you write?
Can you read?
How are you doing this, brother?
This is for Don and Mike.
Huge fan.
Huge fan. Hang on, everybody walked out.
She doesn't like that.
She's never seen me pound.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
I will indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King, Conversations About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence. The kings of the best people ever, Don and Mike.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right.
Hi, folks. This is Larry King.
Hi, Larry King. The plane's going to be a little late. The engine blew up.
Hello. He's Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, I'm caller 100.
Right. Who's this?
My name is Chris.
Chris, where are you calling from?
I'm driving around in D.C. right now.
Beautiful. Chris, you've won an Ask Jeeves prize pack, courtesy of Ask Jeeves. Jeeves is the world's first internet butler. Got a question? Ask Jeeves at ask.com.
Pretty cool website, isn't it?
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's ask.com, not ask.com.
Ask Jeeves. And every time you log in,
But wait, there's more. You've also qualified for a weekly giveaway this Friday. We're giving away another DVD player from DVD Express. Shop the web's number one DVD superstore, DVDExpress.com.
Ask DVD.
Including Adam Sandler, Happy Gilmore, Bulletproof, and Billy Madison. But wait, there's still more. More? Yeah, we're doing... What was that?
That would be my illegal radar detector.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Oh, very good.
We're doing the rent and mortgage game. Again, this month we'll be paying rents and mortgages up to $5,000. How much do you pay every month?
$1,600.
Wow, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Please make sure you're listening to the show last day of the month. That's what we'll be paying the rents and mortgages, okay?
All righty.
Beautiful. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's a popular contest. We haven't done that for a while, so we're going to be right. paying rents and mortgages again.
The ass rent and mortgage contest.
Also, we mentioned this one time early in the show today, and the offer still stands. Being as it's so hot and steamy outside.
Right.
If there are any girls, this contest is not for boys, it's just for girls.
Mm-hmm.
Any girls that would like to be creative and sunbathe topless, and if you could stencil-like on one of your boobs, Don,
mm-hmm.
and on the other boob, Mike,
to show us your tan line.
Yes, we will pay the first woman to do that $100.
Wonderful activity when the humidure is so significant around the country.
Right, and we will be sending Mike, our new intern boy, out, not on the sidewalk, we're going to send him out on the highway in front of the radio station, because that road is so much hotter than the sidewalk.
And it's much safer to do it that way.
To see if we could actually fry an egg out there.
So he's
going
to be standing on that road to fry an egg?
I think we're going to put him on the side road here.
Okay, all right.
So he's not on the big four-lane highway. He'll just be on the two-lane road.
That would be an exciting contest, though. Actually, having have to crack the egg, wait to see if it fried, and then dodge the traffic as well.
What was the temperature today, indeed? What is the temperature now, Buzz?
It's still climbing. 103 degrees. We've broken a record for this day.
That's in D.C., 103.
They're saying a low tonight of 82. And also because of that heat index, what, 109 now, 110, 130, 34?
Let me check. I hate the heat index. You know what that is? That is the equivalent of wind chill index.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Feels like 112.
Yeah.
Right. 112 degrees. Mm-hmm. That's hot.
This is Joe Krebs, the News 4 team, reminding you, drink your water. And look at me, Joe Krebs, with my beady little rabbit eyes.
You could actually write 10 pages of the cliches. Beat the heat. How many times you would hear beat the heat on a local newscast? You would hear it a million times. Cooling off.
And what about the cooling centers they have?
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those things? And I'm sure that they have them in most major cities, not just here in D.C. And so they have a big room, like a municipal room,
mm-hmm.
and they turn on one air conditioner, like a window air conditioner, and they have one of those big bottled water things where you take the little paper cone and you put a little water,
mm-hmm.
but like you're supposed to get some relief in there.
Yeah, like if you're walking from your office to go shopping, you just walk into the cooling center. Hey, I came here for my free water and your window air conditioner.
I think it's supposed to be like for people who don't have power, like your power gets turned off or something.
Or people that live in boxes or something like that?
Or people that don't have air conditioning.
Okay. All right.
Because there are some people that don't have air conditioning.
True.
F them.
Okay.
Please, not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Some people don't have air conditioning?
Some people don't, Mike. Really?
Really?
Wow. Hey, Larry King is calling us right now. I know we mentioned we're going to call his in-laws, but here he is calling now.
Oh.
I think it's Mike the TV boy. I think. Hello? Oh, yeah, see, it is Larry King. Hi, Larry.
Sounds like there is the sound of an aircraft.
Hi, Larry. Are you on an airplane now?
No.
Oh, you're not. Where are you calling us from?
Someone must like this guy.
It sure does sound like you're calling us from an airplane, Larry.
Hey.
Are you...
What? Mike, what's going on there? If you're not on an airplane, this isn't making any sense.
I kid you not.
You kid us not what?
Yeah.
right, let me explain this in case anybody in Detroit is wondering what's going on, because they're our newest city.
Really?
This is a guy that works at one of our radio stations we broadcast to, and he tapes Larry King's show and then calls us up and plays us little snippets, and it's like we have conversations with Larry King.
Now, usually it's a very clear connection, but it sounds like maybe he's playing the sound of an airplane in the background.
That's what it sounds like.
But then when I asked Larry that, Larry said no. So let me ask again. Larry, are you on an airplane now?
No.
Then what is the sound we are hearing in the background?
Party.
It's a party?
No.
Is that Mike the TV boy that's playing those sound effects?
No.
Could you get him to turn those sound effects off?
No.
No. Why would that be? Well, I'm not going to ask why would that be. I'm trying to have a conversation. This is very difficult today with Mike the TV icon boy.
Michael?
Yes, Larry.
What an honor to be in your presence. And I mean that.
Thank you, Larry.
Listen, that noise is driving me crazy, Larry.
You can't be mad at them.
We're not mad at them. We're mad at Mike the TV icon boy for that noise.
Is that supposed to be the noise of a party?
No.
Oh, no. This is the noise of a party.
Good party sound.
See, that's the sound of a party, Larry.
Don't use that word around me.
What word?
Party.
Parties? Yeah.
I kid you not.
Listen, that noise is driving me crazy. If the noise doesn't have anything to do with the bit, why don't you lose the noise, please?
Don?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, lose the noise. Okay, that's better.
Fade it out.
Okay, good. All right, now, hello, Larry.
Michael?
Yes, Larry?
How on earth can you describe heaven?
Heaven is a place where someday I'll see your face, Larry, and hopefully you'll see mine. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
John?
Yes, Larry?
What happens when you die?
Well, you will be going directly to hell.
I kid you not.
No, really. You're going to hell, Larry. Didn't you sign a deal with Satan to get your TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You and Kathy Lee Gifford, a bunch of other people who couldn't make it in showbiz unless you signed your soul away to the devil.
Larry.
Someone must like this guy.
I can't believe you were ruining this bit by playing that lame sound effect, Mike.
You can't be mad at them.
We're mad at them. We're mad at them for doing that.
Party.
Right, we're mad at the people at your party.
Turn that on again, Mike the TV icon boy, so we can hear that horrible sound.
Yeah. Okay.
I just figured out how he does this. It's not like it's wired into the phone. He does this. Hey, I got a question for you, Larry. Would Mike the TV icon boy be doing this from his un-air-conditioned studio?
No.
No. Would he be doing this from his un-air-conditioned home?
Yeah.
And yeah. Is that why he has that? Is that Mike the TV Icon Boy's fan that we heard in the background?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, stay cool, guys.
Gotcha. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
All right, well, what else, Larry?
Was that, like,
accidental? Was that what?
Was that, like, accidental?
That was, like, accidental, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it must be pretty hot where Mike the TV Icon Boy lives.
Yeah.
I kid you not.
As hot as hell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're going?
John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Listen, Mike, it's obvious that the heat is affecting your ability to do this bit. So we'll talk to you later, buddy.
Big losers.
Yeah. Wow. Right. Okay. Thank you. Stay cool.
Yeah.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
There he goes.
Suddenly his material is much stronger than
unbelievable.
All right, everybody, hold on a second. Here's a surprise. Calling us now from Breezewood, Pennsylvania. Here is my real-life dirt-loving redneck brother, Jim.
Yeah, you better not call me a dirtball.
How you doing there, Jim?
I didn't say dirtball. I stopped myself.
You almost did.
I know, but I stopped myself. Now, I talked to my brother earlier this morning when he informed me that my brother's a truck driver.
Right.
That the truck that he was driving broke. Actually, the brakes failed.
Oh, my God.
Around Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And he was sitting in his cab in 100-degree heat waiting to figure out what's wrong with his truck. Right?
Yeah.
And what's happening now?
Oh, I got fixed an hour after I talked to you.
And was it an expensive repair?
$250.
Really?
What was wrong with your brakes?
The master brake, the chamber thing just went out, just took a dump, and it locked up all the brakes on the trailer.
So I mean, were you on?
Swap it out, put a new one on, and I was gone.
Was that a scary scenario? I mean, when did you find? Were you going your usual speed limit when this happened?
Oh no, I was going through the town of Chambersburg last night about midnight, and all of a sudden the trailer brakes locked up.
Hey, he told me his brakes locked up all of a sudden. How fast were you going when they locked up?
Oh, about 30.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Lucky for you, you weren't driving to normal safe speed.
Did you almost jackknife or anything like that?
No.
You could have been one of those truck drivers that always gets on the TV on the 4th of July weekend, because there's always like a million jackknife trucks on the Beltway.
And, you know, shocker, it's always the truck driver that lives through those accidents, too.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're back on the road now.
Yeah, I'm heading over to Pittsburgh. Pick up a load tomorrow morning and head back to Wisconsin.
Did you drop off your manure sifters or whatever it was that you were dropping off?
Yeah, doo-doo flingers.
Doo-doo flingers?
Yeah.
Cool. Boy, I mean, you're really just experiencing the heartland, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
You're feeding America, but...
I said to my brother, when he called me this morning, it was like 100 degrees at that time, and he was on the side of the road, and at that point, he had no idea how long he was going to be on the side of the road.
Yeah, I figured a couple hours, but, you know, the truck's still running, and I got real good air conditioning, so it was nice and cool in there.
Yeah, so that's why I said, that would be awful if you had to, like, be in a cab of a truck.
Still loving your new truck?
Oh, love it, man.
100 degrees. If you had no air conditioning, but he's had the AC, and so he spent the night in there, and, you know, he's got like a little bed in the back of that thing.
Yeah, I got a big double bed and refrigerator and a whole nine yards.
You want to talk about Mom and Dad?
Oh, man. Do we have to?
Is there something new to the saga?
My parents have hit a new low.
Really?
Okay. A new low. Now, Jimmy, how old are you?
38.
My mom and dad don't like the fact that my brother is living with a woman who has three kids. So, you know, you tell them what they did. They hired a private detective to stake my brother's house out, to tell my mom and dad when this girl is coming and going from my brother's house.
Unbelievable.
How effed up are my parents?
Unbelievable.
Yep, all-time low. And like I said, Jamie thought her mom was bad and controlling until she talked to ours.
What possible reason would they have had?
They have all kinds of time on their hands and nothing to do.
Oh, my God.
They like to meddle in other people's business.
You know, I said to my brother, do you owe mom and dad money? Is there some reason, like, are they giving you money or something? He said, no, they're not giving him a dime. He's financially independent.